We're doing the Netivot Shalom on Parshat Balak, and the topic was Va'agarishenu min ha'aretz. The Netivot Shalom brought a medrash that Balak says, all I want is to chase them away, they shouldn't enter Eretz Yisrael. And the Netivot Shalom had questioned, why was this his focus? It would seem like his fear was that they would destroy him, like he says, they're going to destroy all around us. So why is his focus to chase them away if his fear is that they'll destroy him? And he also questioned, Balak had said, Ulai uchal nakebo, maybe I'll be able to hit him, we'll be able to hit him. So if he's saying he wants to hit him, so then what does it mean all he wants is to chase him away? So then Tivot Shalom began answering with an introduction. He said, Bilam says how great Israel is, and that would seem to be praise. Yet Balak tells him, why'd you bless them? I brought you to curse and you blessed. What's the blessing in that? That's a praise. That's not a blessing. And then he explained, based on a basic fundamental concept, that Hashem created the world out of a desire to have a home down below. Specifically in this world down below, where we have to contend with our materialistic desires, where we have to live a worldly life, specifically in this world, the materialistic world, that's where Hashem wanted His sanctity, that's where Hashem wanted us, Nekadesh et Shimcha, to sanctify Hashem's name here, among the Chomer, among the physical. And Balak and Bilam, the Netivot Shalom had said, were the heads of the Sitra Achad, the other side. Bilam was the corresponding force in the world to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem gave us Moshe, and corresponding to it, Hashem put in the world a corresponding negative force, and that is Bilam. And that's the concept, he said, of Yodea Da'at Elyon, that the concept of Da'at, that's the strength of Bilam. And undoubtedly, Bilam knew that God loves the Jewish people. So what was he thinking? How's he going to curse them? What he thought was, he knew that God loves the Jewish people because he wanted them as his home down below. And he said, if I could point out their faults, then I will be able to sever the tie between Hashem and the Jewish people. And that's why this was that dangerous time for Am Yisrael, because here was a person who was going to speak primarily about what's wrong with Am Yisrael. His point was to point out the faults of the Jewish people. And now we're up to page Kuf Lamed Vav. And with this we can explain. Bilam had said, maybe I'll be able to hit him and chase him away from the land. What does that mean? What he meant is to chase away the authority of holiness over the worldliness. Legaresh et shilton hakdusha, to chase away the rulership of holiness, min ha'artziyut, from the material, from the what he calls artziyut, what we would call, let's say, what's a good translation, artziyut, from the material. Umitam ze bikshu shelo ikansu le'eretz Yisrael. That's why Bilam and Balak wanted to prevent Am Yisrael from entering Eretz Yisrael. Kashlemut shel Yisrael ha'am hanivchar, because the chosen nation Israel attains holiness, attains wholeness. He bekniisatam neretz Yisrael, where they attain it specifically when they enter Eretz Yisrael, uvekiyum hamitzvot hatluyot ba, and in fulfilling the mitzvahs that are contingent on Eretz Yisrael. What are those mitzvahs? Those are the mitzvahs of how we plow the field. Those are the mitzvahs of how we give portions to the poor, to the Kohanim, to the Levim. Those are the mitzvahs of Arla. Those are the mitzvahs of Kilayim. Those are the mitzvahs of Shemitah. Those are the mitzvahs that have to do with the physical, with the land. Shekasher yishkon ha'am hanivchar be'eretz hanivcheret, for when the chosen nation settles into the chosen land, yasigu si hashlemut, they can attain the epitome of wholeness. וזה שאמר אולי יוכל נקה בו להקות בו עצמו על ידי שניטול ממנו מעלת העם הנבחר. That's what Balak says, maybe I could hit him personally. Maybe I'll be able to take from him that status of the chosen nation. Va'agareshenu min ha'aretz, and as such, I'll chase them away from the land. Shelo yikantzu le'eretz Yisrael ha'shabatidim im nasik tachlit ha'shlemut shelem. And then they won't enter the land of Israel, and in being detained from entering the land of Israel, they are in essence being detained from attaining a complete wholeness, the essence of their wholeness. And when Am Yisrael is whole, that's when Am Yisrael could take the altziut, the material, and sanctify it. And Balak's sentence has two meanings. I'll chase them from the land of Israel. I will also negaresh takdusha min altziut, chase their potential from the land, their potential of bringing down holiness to the material. Uchedeita she'eretz Yisrael mekadeshet et klal Yisrael. And as it is stated, that the land of Israel gives sanctity to the people of Israel. We always look at the mitzvot, that we bring down sanctity on the land. We also have to know that it goes the other way around. The land gives sanctity to us. As we say in the blessing, Me'en Shalosh. What do we say? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Al ha-michyo, ve'al ha-kalkalo, ve'al tnuvas ha-sodeh, ve'al eretz chemda. Tova u'chava, shenatata la'avoteinu. You gave our forefathers the land of Israel. It doesn't say, liyot amchofshi. What does it say? Hashem gave us the land of Israel. Le'chol mipirya, to eat the fruits, ve'lisbo mituva. So there's a famous tour in Bach that discuss, what's this? What are these words? That's what we're coming to the land of Israel for. To eat the fruits. We continue in the blessing and we say, Rachem Israel Mechav Hashem Rechav Atzom Shem Kvodel Manuschechav Alechalecha Uvnei Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. We ask, rebuild Yerushalayim Ve'aleim Letocho, bring us into Yerushalayim Ve'nochal Mipiryon, we'll eat the fruits. That's what we're talking about. For 1,000 years we've been out, 2,000 years we've been in exile thinking, oh, I can't wait to have an Israeli orange, Jaffa oranges, right? That's not what we're talking about. So the Bach says, it's because the fruits of Eretz Yisrael give holiness to the people of Israel. It's not just fruits. There's a famous Chatam Sofer. Chatam Sofer discusses the fact that when you work the land in Eretz Yisrael, it's not like working the land in Honolulu. There, maybe you're developing the agriculture, you're developing the world. It's a good thing to do. Here, it's different. Here, when we work the land of Eretz Yisrael, it's Kedusha. The farmer here is doing something holy. It's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So the Bach says there's a spiritual power within the fruits. The physical fruits, they make us holy. Velachen natan hakadosh baruch hu eretz Yisrael le'am Yisrael, and that's why Hashem gave the land of Israel to the people of Israel. Kevan sheperot haaretz yesh bahem kedusha. Because the fruits of the land have holiness. This isn't the Hasidish concept. This concept predates the Baal Shem Tov by a few hundred years. This is written in the Bach, in the Halachos of Me'en Shalosh. He's saying this concept, we think it's Hasidut. This concept is quoted in the Bach, in the Halachos of the blessing that we just quoted, the blessing of Me'en Shalosh.
When did he live?
The Ntivot Shalom? The Bach was a disciple of the Ramah. You're talking about 600 years ago. 500 years ago.
I'm guessing from the Arizal, but it's the Arizal that did it sometimes.
The Arizal, a little bit earlier. Umsugalim lachnis kedusha b'Yisrael liyot tam goy kadosh. And the fruits of Israel have this unique trait that they suffuse us with holiness, making us into the holy nation. Al yedei sheikadshu atzmam mikdushat eretz Yisrael, we become holier from the fruits of the land of Israel. Miperot eretz Yisrael umeha'artziyut shel eretz Yisrael shikodesh, because here in Israel, even the land, even the mundane things that we do, that's holy. Now again, this concept isn't his either. It predates the Nativot Shalom by 200 years. The Chassam Sofer says this. Not a Chassam. ולכן, עיקר התגברות הסטרה אחרא הייתה שלא להניח לישראל להיכנס לארץ. That's why the main focus of the other side was don't let them into the land, don't let them into ארץ ישראל. כי המטרה עבורה נכנסו ישראל לארץ היא כדי להעלות את הארציות להשם יתברך. Because the purpose of entering the land of Israel is that we take the land, we elevate it. ועיקר רצונם של בלק ובילם היה, the main desire of Balak and Bilam was והגרשנו מן הארץ מינה אלציות. Let me chase them away from the physical. Let them be a holy people when it comes to the synagogue. Let them be holy in their temple. But let them not be holy in the land. We want to chase them away from the potential of bringing holiness to the mundane. Teretz Israel. Limno mem la'alot et ha'artziut. We don't want them to take the physical and uplift it. We like it just the way it is. Hem eskimu shi'Israel yasku b'torah v'avodah. They said, let them deal in Torah. Let them deal in prayer. They'll have shuls. They'll learn Torah. No problem. There you could remain holy. But don't let them interfere in our lives. In my day-to-day life, the way I deal with my physical world, I want the physical to be physical. And as we said in the beginning, an alternate understanding in the verse, the land is filled with things that are yours. Kinyanecha could mean things that belong to Hashem. Kinyanecha could also mean things that have potential for acquiring a connection with Hashem. Kinyanecha, the acquirement of connection with you. Shekasher Yehudim moser u'makriv ha'inyanim ha'artziim la'Hashem Yitbarach, hu koneh bazeh et Hashem Yitbarach. When a Jew takes the physical and he uses it for mitzvot, then he is in essence acquiring a connection with Hashem. ונתאבה הקדוש ברוך הוא להיות לא דירה בתחתונים. God wanted a home down below. לאו דווקא בדברים האסורים, אלא אפילו בדברים המותרים, בעניינים החומרים והארציים התחתונים שבתחתונים. God wanted a place to live way down below, in the simplest, most mundane aspects of life, שמהם יקריב יהודי להשם יתברך בבחינת דירה בתחתונים. That a Jew takes those, he brings them before Hashem, he uses them in the service of Hashem, and this is the way Hashem has a home down below. You have koach to continue? Yeah. וזה שאמר בלעם מי מנה עפר יעקב ומספר את רוב הישראל, and that which Bilam said, who has counted the earth of Yaakov, who's counted a quarter of the Jews, מי מנה עפר יעקב כמו שמפרש רש"י, who counted the earth of Yaakov, like Rashi explains, שמי יכול למנות את כל המצוות שישראל מקיימים בעפר? Who could count the number of mitzvot that they do even with the earth? הן מצוות התלויות בארץ. He says, what does that mean? Those are the mitzvos of the land. והן אפר פרה ואפר סוטה וכולו. There are the ashes of the parah aduma, the earth of the sota, etc. והיינו, שדבר שפל כאפר, something as lowly as the dust. כה קדוש אצל ישראל. Look at how holy it is by the Jews. They take something as lowly as dust and they do mitzvos with it. ויש להם בו כל כך הרבה מצוות. They have so many mitzvos that just revolve around the earth. Think about it. שעל ידם מרוממים את כל העניינים הארציים השפלים להשם יתברך. Through these mitzvot, they uplift all the lowly, mundane things of life. They uplift them and make them holy to Hashem. וכן הוא מספר את רוב הישראל, שאפילו עניינים אלו. What does it mean, מספר את רוב הישראל? So I translated it as the quarter of Israel. But really, Chazal explained, Rova milshon revia. Revia is the intimate relations. Now that's something that, by the nations, is the most mundane of mundane. That's something that's just animalistic when you look around. But even this, when it comes to Am Yisrael, hem mikdusha ilait kol kach. They are on such a high level of holiness. Kol ha'inyanim shebaolam hem pchutim mishvelim biyoter. Any worldly thing is really low. You look around the world, no one values things that are mundane. They look at them as a tool, something to step on. That's what you have earth for. You step on it, you grow things in it, you eat it. Harei etzel Yisrael hem bekdusha elyona. But when you look at Am Yisrael, the earth has mitzvot. We have kisui adam. We use it to honor the blood. We cover blood after we kill a wild animal or a bird. We use it to grow things and perform mitzvot with it. We use it for the sota. That's the concept that he was talking about. Even Chova, even what by the nations is the most physical of the physical, the intimate relations between partners, by the Jewish people, they uplifted. And that's after that, Bilam says, Tamut nafshi mot yisharim. My soul should die the death of the straight ones. Shebechol dvarav she'amar lo bikesh tamut nafshi mot yisharim. Rak achei pasuk ze. Throughout, he didn't ask this request. Only after this pasuk, Mimana afar Yaakov u'mispar trove Yisrael, who has counted the earth of Yaakov and the intimate relations of Yisrael, mitoch she'ra'a et ha'kdusha ha'elyona shel Yisrael, out of seeing how holy they were, u'bimyuchad kasher hem nimtzeim be'eretz Yisrael, and especially when they are in the land of Israel. So when Bilam saw the holiness of Am Yisrael, specifically when they're in Eretz Yisrael, then he said, I wish I'd die like them. And that's when Balak heard him say that sentence. Balak tells him, Lakovo yivai lekachticha, I took you to curse my enemies. What was the curse he wanted? He said, you point out how distant they are from Hashem. And you bless them, sheze mekor habracha, because the root of the blessing of Israel, when we take the most mundane things and uplift them to Hashem, that is the source, the foundation of the blessing of Am Yisrael. When we do that, we are fulfilling the essence of God's will. God wanted a home down below. So his question was, why is that called a blessing? He's pointing out the praise of Israel. So he explains, "En ze shevach be'alma." This isn't simply praise. Ela bracha liYisrael. Really, this is a blessing. Shemechamat zeruyim hem liyot ha'am hanivchar v'likanes le'eretz Yisrael, le'eretz hanivcharet. When he says, look at how many mitzvot they perform, what he's saying is, they're such an amazing nation. Hashem, they're doing exactly what you want of them. They're fulfilling your will. They're taking the mundane and making it holy. They are fit to enter the land of Israel, the chosen land. Which was exactly what Balak wanted to refute. Balak brought Bilam to point out why they should not enter El Tisrael. He said, our goal is going to be to prevent them from entering the land of Israel. When Bilam points out how well they're performing their task, how they're uplifting the mundane, well, that's exactly why they're fit to enter the land of Israel. Sorry. And our sages say, from his blessings, we could understand what his reverse intent was, his intent to curse them. The main desire of Balak and Bilam was to prevent the Jewish people from taking the mundane and uplifting it to Hashem. And that which Balak said, maybe after your curse, I'll be able to hit him. It's not a separate thought from the beginning of the sentence. He says, at the end of the sentence, he says, maybe I'll hit him and chase him away from the land. He said, maybe I'll be able to hit him, maybe I'll be able to detract from their service of Hashem, I'll be able to detract from their capacity to take the mundane and uplift it, and and then we will have more strength. They will be chased from the land of Yisrael, they will be chased from their capacity to maintain wholeness. Then Bilam went on to say, Hinam kilavi yakum v'chari yitnasa. The verse says they arise like young lions. Rashi explains they arise in the morning like a young lion, like an ari. They grab mitzvos, they wear a talis, they read shema, they don tefillin. What Bilam is focusing on, and this is an integral point, is if we had time, we could expand, and we've expanded other times. He's not only talking about which mitzvot we perform. He's talking about how we perform the mitzvot. They arise like lions. It's not just the issue of what they're doing, but how they're doing it. באיזו גבורה, with what might, ושמחה אילאית ניגשים הם לקיום המצוות, לקיים המצוות. With what happiness, here the chassid in him comes out, but again, this is a pasuk in the Torah, it's in the Hasidic concept. They approach the mitzvot with might, they approach the mitzvot with simcha that's elevated. That's how they perform the mitzvot, and that's what he marveled. Look at them, they're like lions. Look at the attitude they have to the mitzvot. And this is a key point. The attitude very often defines the performance, much more than the mitzvah. We discussed this. Yeah. That's a long question. So let's leave it for now, but if you want, look at the Haftarah. Maybe you'll see an answer. Look at Rashi on the Haftarah. Ani zechor na mayatz balak u'mana oto bilam. Look at the Haftarah. My nation, see what Balak was plotting and what Bilam answered him. And our sages discuss, what does it mean Zechorna? What should you remember? Remember the kindness I did with you, that I didn't anger all those days. I didn't give Bilam any potential. Which goes back to the root concept of the Jewish people. The Jewish people could be in danger, but they're not in danger of annihilation. They're in danger that communities, individuals, what Bilam could have done was tremendous harm. Hashem did kindness not to give them that potential. But the concept of Am Yisrael predates the world, and the concept of Am Yisrael is one of the points the world is contingent on. Am Yisrael must always be. So we weren't in a danger of annihilation, we were in danger of a terrible plague or whatever Bilam could have done, but not extinction. That's a long conversation. But if you want, next Thursday, Bezrat Hashem, we have time. And then Bilam said, sorry, we went back. Sorry, we're in the middle of that paragraph. The essence is not just the performance of mitzvot, but rather that we perform the mitzvot out of our own volition. We want to perform the mitzvot b'simcha, with happiness, u'v'gvura, and with might. Kilavi yakum mecharit nasa. Now, at this point might seem Hasidic to you. There's nothing wrong if it's Hasidic, but we can point out how this concept is really in the Talmud. The Talmud tells us that in the time to come, the nations will gather. The Talmud says in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, and they'll claim, why don't we get wages like the Jews? God will say, they put up with all your persecution and they kept the Torah. And the nations will say, give us mitzvos. We'll try to perform. You'll see, we deserve it just like them. So I'm skipping a large part of the conversation. At some point, God says, okay, I'll give you one mitzvah. God gives them the mitzvah of sukkah. They sit in the sukkah, and God makes it an excruciatingly hot day. Eventually they get up, walk out of the sukkah, and kick the sukkah, and walk into the house. So God says, you see? So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Yeah, this is going to happen. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Once it's excruciatingly hot, they don't have a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. First the Talmud asks, isn't it unfair? So the Talmud says, no. Sometimes the Jews had a sukkah where it was excruciatingly hot. So Talmud says, yeah. And then they were putter. They walked in from the sukkah. They don't have to sit out in the sukkah. So Talmud says, yeah. God doesn't take them to task over walking out of the sukkah. God takes them to task over kicking it on the way out. Meaning their claim is rebutted by the fact that they kicked it when they walked out. When we leave the sukkah, we walk out with a grunt. Chaval, I can't keep the mitzvah. Chaval, I won't be able to sit in the sukkah. If they walk out and kick it, that's where God says, wait a second. That shows you where your heart is. And that's the concept that the Netivot Shalom is saying. God doesn't only look at our performance of mitzvot. What Bilam marvels is they arise like lions. They run to Davin. They get up. They put on their tefillin. They the attitude that we have towards the performance of mitzvot. That's what Bilam marvels at. V'chein lo yishkav ad yochal teref, and so to what Bilam says, they don't rest till they consume their prey. Shinyano kepirush laila, kepirush Rashi. It's as Rashi explains, lo yishkav balayla al mitato ad shuuchel umchabel kol mazik amal etorvo. He doesn't rest on his bed till he destroys any mazik, any form of spiritual being that wants to come and devour them. Ketzad, how do they do that? Kore et Hashma al mitato. When a Jew goes to sleep, he reads Shema by his bed. Umafkid ruchob biyad hamakom, and he gives over his spirit to God. Shetier baze ech yehudi kam baboker kegibo begvurato. Bilam here is describing how a Jew awakens with might to perform mitzvot. And now he lies down to rest with the strength of a godly watching. Hashem is watching over him. When we lie down, we know we're easy prey. We're lying down. I'm sleeping. I give myself over to Hashem. And God watches over him and saves him from whatever spiritual beings want to devour him. שבכל זה מתקיים תכלית רצון השם שנתווה הקדוש ברוך הוא להיות לו דירה בתחתונים. All of this is a fulfillment of God's desire to have a home down below. ועל זה, and when Bilam says this, Balak responds, ויאמר בלק אל בלעם, גם קוב לא תיקובנו, גם ברך לא תברכנו. If you don't curse them, at least don't bless them. שזו הברכה המעולה ביותר לישראל. That this is the greatest blessing to the Jewish people. That Bilam stands there and says, in everything they do, from the moment they awaken till the moment they go to sleep, they're fulfilling God's will in the most mundane of things with the greatest attitude. שתכלית הבריאה מתקיימת על ידי העם הנבחר, because the essence of creation is being fulfilled by the chosen nation, העושים את תכלית רצון השם, who perform the essence of the will of Hashem. ולפי זה יש לבאר לשון הפסוק לא ישכב עד יאכל טרף ודם חללים ישתה. According to this we can explain the verse, they don't rest so they consume their prey and they drink the blood of their corpses. שצריך ביאור, that needs explanation. מה שנקט בלשון יאכל טרף, that which he says they eat their prey ודם חללים ישתה, and they drink the blood of the enemies, they destroy the corpses of the enemy. שהוא לשון חיובי, ועלו הכוונה רק על השמירה והצלה מהמזיקים. What does he mean by that? To eat and to drink, that's a proactive verb. And what Bilam is describing according to our tradition is that when we say Shema at night, whatever tries to harm us cannot harm us, which is passive. Hashem prevents us from harm. Hashem protects us from harm. That's passive. He describes it, Bilam uses terms which are active. They eat their prey, they eat their enemies, they drink. Ela, but the reason he uses proactive verbs, shemumaz bezeh, ma sheyudi magbeh l'Hashem itvarach et kol ha'inyanim ha'artziyim. He is alluding here to the fact that the Jew uplifts to Hashem all the mundane things, u'me'inyanim ha'shvelim biyoter, and from the most mundane things, oseh et ha'davar ha'kadosh v'ha'yakar, he makes something which is holy and precious. V'zehu yochal teref edam chalim yishteh, that's the description that they eat and that they drink. שהופך ארץ צייה וצלמוות למקור ברכה. They take something dry, arid, something which is a place in the shadow of death, they make it into a source of blessing. Now I want you to think about this, because this is a very important point. A person can enter Shabbos and say, where's the bread? Put a loaf of bread on the table. Two loaves of bread on the table. I'm keeping halacha, I have lechem mishneh. Let's go, everyone, let's go wash. He washes, he comes. He slices the bread, he dips in the salt like he's supposed to, gives everyone a piece. Everyone's eating off of plasticware, plastic dishes. They have a plastic tablecloth. He's lit two tea candles. He's fulfilled the halacha. We eat the meal, everyone has a slice of bread with cream cheese. At the end of the meal, we take out a little piece of fish, or maybe a little piece of meat. He drinks a cup of tea, he's fulfilled the halacha, he's done everything the halacha says. You're supposed to eat something hot. According to Kabbalah, you're supposed to have fish. He's had a little bit of meat. He's had cold meat, a piece of salami. He's had a hot cup of tea. He's drank something hot. He had two pieces of bread. This is what he likes. Fine, we could respect that. No problem. Another person could walk into his house and he doesn't have the money to buy meat or fish. He's going to have a simple kugel his wife put together from leftovers during the week, a little bit of flour, a little bit of spices, whatever she could scrap together. He's going to have a simple soup. Maybe he has a little bit of wings and necks of chicken that he could put in, maybe not. He doesn't have all the foods and the delicacies he would like for Shabbos. But when he walks into the home, he walks in with an aura. The way they light the Shabbos candles, the way they set the table, the spirit of the singing, the spirit that a person places at the Shabbos table, a person can take the most mundane foods, take the most mundane meal, and make it holy. A person can take the most delicious foods and put them down. If a person takes out the finest silverware he has in honor of Shabbos, what's he showing his kids? What atmosphere is he giving? Our strength has been throughout the generations. When we were poor throughout Europe and we couldn't afford anything but beans, we made a special food for Shabbos. We called it cholent. What's cholent? Cholent is the simplest food. You take the cheapest food they had in Europe, you take a little bit of potatoes, a little bit of beans, you mix it together. If you can afford a piece of meat, good. If not, not. That's cholent. We took what we had and we made it special. We made it lechvod Shabbos Kodesh. Okay.
It's part of it. You made cholent because karaites wouldn't eat hot food on Shabbat. So they made cholent to prove that we weren't karaites.
But the idea that I think we have to walk away, the idea we have to take away from the Tivot Shalom, one of the ideas is the importance of attitude. It's not just about fulfilling the halacha. I've had my hot drink. To prove we're not karaites, that's why I said he drinks a hot cup of tea. Anything you drink that's been heated over the Shabbos that's hot, you fulfilled that halacha. That's why I said a hot cup of tea, you've also fulfilled that halacha if you want to be vegetarian. No problem, that's not the point. The point is, what's the spirit? What avira am I putting in the house for Shabbos? It's very hard not to smile.
I don't want to be in the picture.
I don't take pictures.
And even Bilam was taken when he saw the attitude. A person might have to rush in the morning to work. Maybe he'll have to go to one of those quick minyanim where he's davening 15 minutes off shachris. But what does he say when he goes to minyan? Does he tell his son, oh, I'm not going to have time to eat breakfast, I got to go to shul this morning? Or does he say, I'm so lucky, I start my day with a few minutes, I speak to the Rabbon Shalom? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is known as having said that we lost the Shabbos. The reason so many Jews in America, the second generation, stopped keeping Shabbos was because of the attitude of the parents. The parents had to do everything to keep Shabbos. But every Shabbos, they'd walk into Shabbos and say, Tziz shver, tziz ein ayid. Oh, it's tough to be Jewish. So the kid grew up saying, oh, it's tough. What do I need this for? The attitude. It's not just the performance. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. ונכלל בפסוק אינם כלבי יקום מחרי התנסה לו ישכב עד יוכל טרף על פי המובע בספרים הקדושים ומה שכתוב ברשע שולחן ערוך יתגבר כארי לעמוד בבוקר לעבודת בורא אור. And included in this concept that Bilam is impressed when he says they arise like lions is the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch. What does the Shulchan Aruch begin with? יתגבר כארי, get up in the morning like a lion. לעמוד בבוקר לעבודת בורו, to stand in the morning to the service of his creator. וכתב על זה הרמה. And the Rama says on that halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. First Rama, כשישים האדם אל ליבו שהמלך הגדול הקדוש ברוך הוא השם לא כל הארץ כבודו עומד עליו ורואה במעשיו. When a person takes to heart that Hashem, who his honor fills all of earth, he is standing over him and sees his actions. מיד יגיע אליו וירווח נא בפחד השם יתברך ובושתו. Automatically, the fear, the awe, the subservience before God envelops the person. And the Rama adds, and when a person lies in bed, he should also take note, before who am I going to sleep? He's alluding, the Rama in the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch is alluding, Shatnai lekayem yitgaber kari lamod baboker. What's the precondition to fulfilling the first halacha? To get up like a lion? What's the precondition? Do we all know? We've discussed it many times. If when he goes to sleep, he takes into account who's looking at me when I go to sleep. If he goes to sleep with the recognition Hashem is watching, then he will awaken. And the others say the idea is his bedtime. When does he go to sleep? You go to sleep on time, you recognize that Hashem is looking at you and seeing what you waste your time with at night. If you're surfing the net for 3 hours for nothing, then you realize that's what's going to give you the strength in the morning to get like a lion if you go to sleep like you should. But really, he's talking about a different concept, the concept that the Rishonim already said. Who said it? Lo Yishkav Ela. Was it Ramchal? Ibn Ezra. I don't remember if it was the Ramchal or the Ibn Ezra. One of our great poets said, one should not go to sleep but with the fond memories of the love of Hashem Yitbarach and the Torah, and awaken right away like one who's in love, and his thoughts automatically go back to his beloved. That's the way a person is supposed to go down and go to sleep and get up. V'zesha omer kan, shebichdei likayim ka'alavi yakum mecharit nasa, and that's what Bilam's saying here. In order to fulfill arousing like a lion, hader shelo yishkav ad yochal teret. Bilam concludes and says they do it by not going to sleep till they consume their prey. Shim b'shochvon mishkavo yedalik neimu shochev, as yechol yitgaber kari baboker. If when a person goes to sleep, he takes into account, who am I going to sleep before? Before whom am I going to sleep? Before Hashem. If that's his parting thoughts before he goes to sleep, then he will awaken like that lion. Now we're up to the last paragraph. Vini. Just as the holiness of Eretz Yisrael gives holiness to Am Yisrael when it comes to the mundane, al derech zo matzinu gam bekdushat haShabbat. By the same token, we find the holiness of Shabbos has that strength. Uchamamar Maran Hakadosh mekuvrin zchuto yegen aleinu. The verse says, Kodesh ilachem. We say, Kodesh ilachem Shabbat Malkah, the Shabbos, the Queen, is holy to you. HaShabbat Kodesh mekadesh et kol inyanei lachem. We say, Kodesh ilachem, it is holy to you, Shabbos the Queen. Shabbos the Queen can give sanctity to anything that is to you. Kodesh ilachem, it is sanctity to you, meaning it is sanctity for anything that is your own, that is your own interest, the mundane. Uveze biyanu mamar chazal berkho b'man, and in this we've also explained what our sages taught, that the Shabbos was blessed with man, shebmachalei Shabbat yeshef kedushat haman, that in the foods of Shabbos we have the sanctity of the man. Kishem shaman haya lechem abirim ma'achal kadosh, just as the man is referred to as the bread of great warriors, a holy food, shelo haya me'orer shum ta'avot badam, the man did not arouse desire. Ordinarily, food arouses desire. Different food arouses different desires in a person. The man did not arouse any desire. Kach ma'achalei Shabbat hem bivchinat lechem abirim, so too the foods of Shabbos are like this bread of great warriors, shemachnisin kedusha bedamo shel Yehudi. They suffuse the blood of a Jew with holiness. Umekadshim et kol inyanei lachem shelo. They give holiness to everything that is ours, the mundane. Unlike the weekday foods, which arouse desire, the Shabbos foods put holiness within us. V'kedushat haShabbat is kmo dechtiv. The holiness of Shabbos is like it says, Beini uvein bnei Yisrael ot hi le'olam. God says the Shabbos is a sign between me and the Jewish people for eternity. Afilu be'ezman she'en Yisrael al admatan admat HaKodesh. What does God mean when he says for eternity? He means this is the sign even when the Jews are not in the land of Israel, the Holy Land. Mekudeshet kedushat haShabbat et Yisrael. Mekadeshet kedushat haShabbat et Yisrael. The holiness of Shabbos can give, imparts sanctity upon the Jewish people. Umachnisa kedusha b'chol inyanei lachem shel Yehudi. And the Shabbos puts holiness in all aspects of lachem, our aspects, every aspect of lachem of the Jew. Wasn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Eretz Yisrael. So let's summarize what he said. He said, Balak and Bilam wanted to prevent us from entering the land of Israel. How did they want to do it? If Bilam could point out our faults, he could sever the tie between us and Hashem. That was the danger of the period. Instead, Bilam pointed out our connection. Our connection is in that we take the mundane and we give it sanctity, we give it holiness. Our connection is in that we perform the mitzvot, and not only perform them, but have the attitude, the love, the bravery, the might, the excitement in performance of mitzvot. And that's why it was a blessing. Because if their point was to prevent us from giving more sanctity to the mundane, they recognized that we could give more sanctity in the land of Israel, where the holiness of the land makes us more holy, and we have the potential to make the land holy. So that's what they wanted to prevent. Well, then if he points out how fitting we are for the land, he ends up pointing out how we make everything holy, how we take the mundane, even the earth. That was his point. Mi mana afal Yaakov, who could count the earth of Yaakov, that in the earth they have so many mitzvot. Even in the most mundane of things, they have mitzvot. They sanctify the most mundane. So then he is pointing out the exact opposite, how fitting we are to enter the land of Israel. And that's why Balak was upset with him. And he concluded by pointing out that just as the holiness of Eretz Yisrael gives us that potential to sanctify the mundane, so too the holiness of Shabbos gives us that capacity. Shabbat Shalom.